Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Industries Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Solanki.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Aarti Industries Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Rajendra Gogri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Chetan Gandhi, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from Mr. Rajendra Gogri, who will take us through the performance overview, progress on growth plans, and outlook on the business. Post this, we shall open the forum for question and answer, where the management will be addressing queries of the participants. Just to share a standard disclaimer, certain statements that may be made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation that has been shared earlier and uploaded on the stock exchange website. I would now invite Mr. Rajendra Gogri to share his perspectives. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and a warm welcome to everyone joining the call today. We are gathered here to delve more into Q3 FY24 earnings of Aarti Industries, and I will guide you through the performance, provide updates on growth initiatives, and outline our strategy. I'm delighted to share that our concerted efforts have translated into robust results, reflected in about 15% sequential improvement in EBITDA in Q3 FY24. This was possible despite persistent external challenges, despite going headwinds such as inventory destocking, high interest rates globally, recessionary pressure in key developed markets, and China dumping. We effectively navigated to report a buoyant performance thanks to the strength of our portfolio and enduring partnership with our longstanding customers. I would like to compliment our team for promptly applying their market insights, allowing us to dynamically manage the product mix based on evolving demand. As highlighted in the previous call, we are observing a rebound in demand for various products catering to the discretionary applications such as dyes, pigments, additives, polymers, and more. But it is still early signs. We remain optimistic about a complete recovery as we progress further. The non-discretionary segment, primarily driven by agrochemical and pharmaceutical, still seems soft as major customers are managing lean inventory due to high carrying costs and moderated demand. That being said, we are witnessing steady demand for select products within the non-discretionary space and are actively engaged with key customers to offer best value. Even so, we anticipate a return to more widespread demand normalization in the next 1-2 quarters. And in alignment with this, we continue our dialogue with customers to fulfill their long-term requirements. Now, let me cover the key performance highlights. Our consolidated revenue increased by 18% to ₹1,889 crore in Q3 FY24 over previous quarter Q2 FY24. Consolidated EBITDA, including other incomes, grew by 15% on a QOQ basis to ₹268 crore in Q3 FY24. The enhancement in EBITDA was driven by increased volumes while maintaining stable pricing for products and also included an element of operating leverage gains achieved through stabilized fixed costs. Profit after tax stood at ₹124 crore in Q3 FY24, higher by 36% over previous quarter Q2 FY24. I will now cover some of the major business developments. In December 2023, we entered into a long-term supply contract with a global agrochemical major for a niche agrochemical intermediate with a revenue potential of over ₹3,000 crore over a period of 9 years. This agrochemical intermediate serves as a crucial input component for a widely used herbicide, and the global market for this herbicide remains large and growing steadily. More important, it leaves an integral component of AIL's existing integrated product portfolio, and our current CapEx plans are well aligned to meet this order requirement. This order will start contributing our performance from the current fiscal, and we anticipate an EBITDA margin of about 20% based on the stable raw material prices. Our affiliation with this prominent customer has been robust, and we aim to foster this relationship further to expand within the high-value agrochemical sector. In another major development, we secured a 4-year supply contract worth over ₹6,000 crore with a multinational conglomerate for a niche specialty chemical. This product is also included in our diversified product portfolio, and we have been supplying this product to the said customer for the past few years with consistent annual increase in volumes. No additional capacity is anticipated for this product as our existing capacity is structured to manage these incremental requirements. Demand for this product has been growing continuously. We anticipate doubling volumes in calendar year 24 versus that of calendar year 23 with this customer. The strong demand is based on the newer application which has been evolving over the last few years. We expect that the margin in this case would be about 15% to 17% at constant prices. In short, both these contracts are testament to our ability to convert short-term or spot business into a medium to long-term contract with substantial increase in volume. It also speaks volumes about our manufacturing excellence, strong and deep customer engagement, and a robust track record of handling multiple complex chemistries. We are more than happy that this has come through in such a challenging macro environment, which underscores our commitment to transforming relationship into sustainable long-term opportunities. Let me now turn your attention to the production details for Q3 FY24. Production of nitrochlorobenzene stood at 19,580 metric tons as compared to 18,199 metric tons in Q3 of last year and 19,014 metric tons in Q2 FY24. For hydrogenation, this came at 3,644 tons per month over 2,995 tons per month in same period last year and 3,136 tons per month in Q2 FY24. For nitrotoluene, the production of Q3 FY24 stood at 6,951 metric ton as against 7,528 metric ton in Q3 of FY23 and 7,560 metric ton in Q2 FY24. Moving your focus towards update on key projects, all the other projects including capacity increase of ethylation and nitrotoluene and introduction of chlorotoluene value chains among others are progressing well and will start commissioning in a phased manner from FY25 onwards. We entailed a capex of about Rs. 860 crore in 9 months FY24 to fund our expansion project and remain on track to collectively deploy Rs. 2,500 to 3,000 crore between FY24 and FY25 to expand our manufacturing expertise and venture into newer high potential chemistry to accelerate our performance trajectory. We had earlier guided for our EBITDA to be about 950 to 1,000 crore for FY24. While we are witnessing revival of business across various discretionary applications, there is still some more pain and time for recovery to be visible in the agro and pharma sector. Further, current macro challenges across the Red Sea have resulted in a sharp increase in freight cost and container availability. Our arrangement with customer enable us to pass on most of these impacts to the customer with a time lag. In line with this current performance and visibility available, we expect to close this year with an annual EBITDA closer to 1,000 crore. We further expect our FY25 EBITDA to be in the range of Rs. 1450 to 1700 crores. Let me now conclude by saying that India is favorably positioned within the global chemical industry given its cost competency, improving manufacturing and R&D infrastructure, supportive policies and strong domestic demand. In addition, evolving geopolitical risk have prompted global company to shift a portion of their manufacturing requirement to India. As an integrated player, we will continue to reap the benefits and remain a global partner of choice for specialty chemicals and intermediates. With this, I now request the moderator to open the forum for a Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the presentation. Two questions from my side. The first question was, given the demand recovery that you're witnessing, can you talk about your sales mix in terms of, you know, whether your reliance on non-regular markets is reducing? If you could give a sense of, you know, where the share of your non-regular markets were, say, last year to where it is today. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, as a demand is recovering in our regular market, quarter on quarter, our share of non-regular market is decreasing. We will not have absolute percentage here. But in general, you know, as the regular market is improving, the non-regular market share is decreasing. Yes.
Sure, sir. And the second question I had was, in the presentation you've mentioned that you've seen an improvement in pricing trends. Would it be possible to give a sense of how much pricing improvement you've seen relative to the trough, which I guess was in the first half of this year? And, you know, which segments are driving this pricing improvement?
Basically, as some of the products where the demand are reviving, you know, we are also see potential of some increase in pricing. So it will be, you know, across the all the segments, you know, whether it's agro or on discretionary side also. But it becomes more of a product specific. But in general, you know, we see that as the demand recovers, so some pricing improvements are also taking place.
Sure, so just one clarification. Would it be possible to give any kind of percentage number just for a sense in terms of this improvement?
Not really, on a percentage basis, it will be difficult.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers and happening to see that the guidance remains intact for FY25. So first question again on the demand front. So if you could just give us an understanding of which geography the discretionary demand has been good and which geography the non-discretionary demand has been good or languishing. Just to get a perspective how individual geographies are doing domestic as well as the other, you know, US or Europe or rest of the world. Thank you.
Actually, in geography, the way our product mix are there and our end products. So the product which we export to, say, US, Europe or Japan, the finished good products, what they make, whether it's agrochemical or engineering polymers, they are exported worldwide in that sense. So even though the consumption happens in a particular continent, the finished products are sold all over. But in general, the U.S. is seeing a better, if you just want to specify, the U.S. is seeing a better recovery in volumes.
Right. And any sense on the domestic market, India, for both the segments?
Yeah, domestic, because we have a lot of indirect export also when we sell to domestic. So purely a domestic market, I think, is a very steady as such.
Sure, that's helpful. Okay, second question is on the two contracts. So given that it's a 9-year contract and 4-year contract, how do we see the revenue? Will it be linear? And even from the EBITDA perspective, whether from first year of operation, I mean, right from FY25, we'll get the EBITDA of 20% and 50% respectively for both the contracts? Thank you.
Yeah. Now, the second contract is a very linear, basically. So, it will be 1,500 crore coming in calendar year 24 itself. And whereas the first contract, which was 3,000 crore over a 9-year period, we expect, you know, ramp up in FY24 and FY25, and FY26 should become a more of a normal year, because as we are expanding the plant, we should be basically getting ready in the first half of FY25. So around 300 crore will come in FY25 for the first contract, but then it should become 350 crore plus from FY26 onwards.
So, just one last clarification from Chetan bhai. In terms of the tax...
Rohit, sorry, can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, is it better?
Yeah.
So one last clarification from Chetan bhai. In terms of the tax, which has been negative for the first 9 months, how do we see it for FY24 and FY25 average tax rate? Thank you.
FY24, the tax would be negative. We got some of these assets which are getting commercialized, and that IT depreciation is higher than the book depreciation, which is where the tax rates are going to be. I mean, there's not going to be any tax liability in the deferred tax asset which is going to come in. FY25, I expect this to be in the range of around 15%-17%.
Fair enough. That's all from my side. Best of luck and thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions. Sir, first question is on the gross margins. So this quarter, we had witnessed that on sequential basis, our top line has been robust. But sir, despite this jump in revenue, raw materials has also gone up very high. So this has led to compression in our gross margins. I believe it is the lowest of the last 8 quarters. So when we look at the prices of benzene, toluene, phthalic anhydride, aniline, on sequential basis, there hasn't been any jump. So what is the reason for this huge dip in margins?
Actually, you know, generally we have been always telling that gross margin or EBITDA margin is a number which is not a very appropriate number for comparing. And as far as the volume raw material price, the benzene has seen an increase of about 10 rupees from 70 to 80 rupees. But in general, you know, this gross margin to as a percentage will depend also on the product mix. So as the product mix changes, the gross margin also will have some variability. So important thing all for us always will be, you know, basically the gross profit, then the expenses and the EBITDA on an absolute number-wise how it is moving. So on an absolute basis, there was a growth both in gross profit as well as on EBITDA, yeah.
If the gross margin is dipping, so that means the product mix is changing toward the lower side or toward the lower product, so towards the value chain?
Basically, you know, it may not be that simple. You know, basically the product mix, where it is changing and how the raw material price of those products are there, you know, that will determine. So I think, you know, as a gross margin, we never even evaluate in our business model. Basically, it is always, you know, gross profit per kg for a particular product. So that is the major criteria.
Got it, sir. But sir, onto the 2 large contracts which we have signed recently. So my understanding is that these two projects will not add any revenue or EBITDA. It just increases the visibility over the longer term. Is this understanding correct, sir?
Yeah, because this was already part of our existing CapEx program and whatever we had guided. If you remember, in the first half, we had guided for FY25, 1450 to 1600 crores. But now we are guiding 1450 to 1700 crores. So that because it shows a more stronger visibility with signing of the contract. So in a way, you are right. It gives more solidity on the visibility.
Got it. Got it. Sir, my last question, sir. In our presentation, we have mentioned that we have started to see demand recovery into dyes, pigments, and polymers. And the agrochemicals and pharma segment that continue to underperform. So any outlooks are into the agrochemical side because most of the agrochem companies have reported very weak numbers for this quarter. Also, supplying to some of them. So any outlook from them which are witnessing any change in outlook from the coming quarter that demand is improving or any sort of any guidance?
Actually, agrochemicals become very, very molecule specific. Like some product, virtually we didn't see any impact at all. And some product, there was an impact and now it is on a recovery. And some product, the sudden impact has come because something which they buy on annually in 3 months. Last year, they were bought in, say, January to April. And when it comes to January to April, calendar year 24, the demand goes down sharply. So this agrochemical demand impact is becoming a very molecule specific and some of them where there was no pain in the last year, suddenly because they are buying only for a few months in a year. it suddenly also crops up. But in general, I think most of the agrochemical company itself have been saying that, you know, I think calendar year FY24, at least a couple of quarters for them as a basket will have an impact, and some impact of that will be on us also.
So we'll see this sector to underperform, and can this have a bearing impact on our margins, like so it can remain into the similar range for a longer period of time?
So no, part of that, you know, because we have a wide range of end use and all, so part of that is covered in our guidance also. Some softness in agro.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. The two new contracts we've announced, would it be possible to just help us with the you know, revenues we are making from those in FY24, just so that we know how much is incremental coming in, you know, from next year onwards?
So, you know, second contract, which was about 1,500 crores, the revenue in this FY23 will be more, you know, around, I think, 900 crores or something on a financial year basis. Calendar year, it was doubling. But financial year basis, FY24 to FY25, it will be kind of a jump from around 900 to 1,500 crores. And the second contract, the FY24 sales will be below 200 crores. The first contract, sorry, for that 3,000 crore over a 9-year period.
Understood. You said that the agrochemical contract will ramp up gradually, right? So FY25, we expect... if you could please just share that number again. How much do we expect in FY25 and then 26?
FY25 near 300 crores. Then FY26, so onward, it will be 350 at the full ramp-up phase.
Got it, sir. Thank you. The other one was just on... so of this EBITDA guidance that we have now, 1450 to 1700 crores for next year, how much has already been tied up after all these, based on the contracts we have in hand, and how much is still left to be tied up over the remainder of the year?
So basically, you know, this overall, if you say the our contractual business will be with these two contracts will be more about, you know, maybe 30 to 40%. And rest will be also is like a semi-contractual, where, you know, the customers have been buying for years, and there is a good visibility in general for those also. So they are, you know, some of them they are buying for on quarter basis, quarterly pricing and all that. So we are in touch with those also, and the kind of visibility on volumes, the range what we are getting from them. That will helping us in looking at the, what are the kind of volumes we will see in FY25.
Okay, sir. Just two last things from me. One is for the ethylation and nitrotoluene capacities that are coming up, would the primary end-use industry be agrochemicals itself, or does it go into other end-users as well?
Ethylation is basically an agrochemical driven mostly. Whereas the nitrotoluene part of that will go into this ethylation, and other component nitrotoluene is a para-nitrotoluene, which has a more wider end use profile.
Right. And the final thing is just on the chlorotoluenes project, any sense of the timeline for commissioning, following which how long it will take to get customer approvals, especially depending on how much we are targeting to sell in the export markets, and therefore how much revenue can we expect from chlorotoluenes in FY26 once the capacities are up?
So basically commissioning will happening in FY26, so that will be a commissioning year, and most of this product we lot of this product will be import substitutes within India, and also for export, you know, they are not, you know, very near to the end where, you know, we'll take a lot of time for qualification. So we don't see much overall on a product mix basis, not much delay on qualification. So FY26, I think the contribution, because it being a commissioning year, will be, you know, difficult to really quantify. But FY27 onwards, we'll see a sizable EBITDA coming from this chlorotoluene range.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question is on the clarification on our contract too. So you mentioned that definitely we don't need to incur further capex and the revenue we can expect is roughly 1500 crore. So that should directly add to the bottom line with the incremental EBITDA. The question is, sir, that the 15% kind of margin we are guiding in this product with your EBITDA guidance of roughly even at the higher end of 1700 crore for full year FY25. Sir, if you do just do some back of the envelope calculations on X of this product, we are looking in EBITDA margin of close to 20%. Significant improvement from the current year. So is that something we are looking for, that kind of margins in FY25 to achieve the guidance which we are talking about at the higher end of 1700?
Yeah, no, that's what we have been highlighting for a year or so, because the operation operating leverage will kick in, and conversion of gross profit to EBITDA will be high, and that will, at the constant raw material prices, our EBITDA as a percentage also progressively should go up, you know. So it will move towards, you know, towards 18-20% range when if we hit 1700 crores, yes.
Okay, so you are assuming that even the constant price of raw material, we can hit to 19-20% kind of EBITDA margins. However, in the current quarter, sir, itself, your EBITDA margins were quite muted at 15%, sir.
Yeah, I think basically the whatever the gross profit which we expect to be added next year is going to be virtually translating into EBITDA.
Okay. Sir, second question is on some volume clarification on, we have seen a sequential strong recovery in the current quarter. However, the volume numbers which you shared that, except that probably in hydrogenation, MCB and nitrotoluene volume doesn't seem to show such any sharp improvement on sequential basis, Q on Q. So it is that the recovery is more, the sequential growth is more driven by the pricing scenario.
Now, we have got a lot of other specialty products also, so the volumes have been growing in other products, which are more on value-added and kind, yes.
Okay. So just one more question, I'll come back in queue. Sir, once again, coming back on the contract too, sir, particularly the reason for compromising on margins at EBITDA 15-17% when we converted this contract into long-term, is there any pressure from the customers to get in this kind of margins and compromise on the profitability to have the continuous supply, or it was our decision only that we wanted to have some long-term visibility and that's why we have compromised on margins?
No, I don't know. There is no compromise on margins. I think there is some confusion on that.
Sir, 15-17% versus the rest of the business, you are looking at 19-20%, which means that on this product we are making a lower margin than the other part of the business or other product.
No, at the when we moved to 1700 at that time, and as a composite, you know, it will hit that. You know, basically, if you are hitting around say 9,000 crore turnover. You'll be hitting
it. But sir, I'm sure that 15-17% is not the range on which we want to do the business, right? You have always been highlighting that your long-term margins will be 20% upward. So definitely on this such a large product with the 1500 crore contributing roughly 15-18% of our revenues, we have compromised on the margins, isn't it?
No, this margin can become 22 also and can become 12 also if the raw material prices increase. So generally, this margin emphasis is not in our criteria in general. So it is basically per kg and per kg current raw material levels. So these are the numbers basically we have. So if the raw material goes down, this will show 20+, the same product.
Okay. Sir, with the 1,500 crore turnover, the asset which we will be using for this plant, a very ballpark number, so we can get some asset turnover idea on this product?
That I will not have any data available on that.
Okay. So thank you, sir. I'll come back in for the follow-up question.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So just one question is on how do you see debt playing out over the next year in terms of where do you see gross debt ending at the end of FY25?
So assuming that the raw material prices remain at the current levels, I believe the FY25 debt to be in the range of 3,500-3,800 kind of stuff.
So you're expecting some relief from working capital then?
Yeah, that should be happening, but let's wait and see what happens on the raw material prices.
Yeah. And sir, just to get the CapEx guidance right, FY25, we are talking about 2,500-3,000 crores.
No, it is for 2024 and 2025, 2 years put together. So this year, we will be somewhere between 1,200-1,300 crores, and the balance of that will be for FY25.
Understood, sir. I think that clarifies. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Priyank Chheda from Vallum Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
So my question is on asset. What are the asset turnover at the current prices for chlorotoluene project that you are putting? And the total capacity of 42,000 is equally divided among nitro and para-toluene, or are there any other products within chlorotoluene basket that we are going to manufacture?
The 40,000 is a base chemical, ortho and para-chlorotoluene. And overall, as a chlorotoluene combined, we have our asset turn is around 1-1.2. Around 1.2 will be the asset turn for chlorotoluene range of product.
Okay. Okay. And how much of that would be getting imported within the products, value-added products that you are making, and since it's an import substitution, what would be the size that are getting imported in India which we are looking to replace?
Import of those products around 1,500 crore range is the import which is taking place.
You mean that 1,500 crores worth of chlorotoluene, base chlorotoluene, are getting imported?
Yeah, and not chlorotoluene-based, the entire value-added products. There are a lot of intermediates for statins and all those, a lot of products.
What would be the ASP? Would be around 200-250 rupees per kilo?
No, that would be difficult to just get that number.
What would be the realization that we would be looking towards the whole basket?
No specific overall per kg. We have not done any on a weighted basis, any specific number.
Okay. And it's 1,500 crores of CapEx that we are dedicating towards this 42,000 tons.
The entire range, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. My first question is on the sequential improvement on the revenues that what we have seen. And simultaneously, the kind of sequential pressure that we have witnessed in the gross margin front. So is it fair to believe, sir, is it indicating that the pricing pressure scenario is very active at this juncture, and that's why even though we would have seen some kind of volume growth sequentially consistently over the last couple of quarters, but the pricing pressure is playing a role, and that's why the kind of impact on the gross margin front that we are seeing?
I already answered in earlier question. It is, you know, the gross margin will also depend on the what is the product mix in the overall sales. So that determines and the raw material prices. Like benzene had increased from 70 to 80 rupees in this quarter. So overall, we are not seeing any significant increase in pricing pressure.
Okay. Generally, there is a kind of understanding, this whether it would be China-related oversupply situation or it is the subdued demand situation, which is ultimately have created a kind of a suppressed pricing situation and is expected to remain so for relatively in the mid to short-term to medium-term kind of situation or period. So do you believe so?
Yes, basically, as the overall demand improvement takes place globally, I think this pricing pressure should ease out. So I think as the product, specific product to product demand starts recovering, then we expect the pricing also, margin improvement also taking place.
Okay. And simultaneously, sir, just an extended view on this only. See, this quarter we have seen sequential as well as YOY. The export growth is really robust. And if I just relate that with the margin performance, the gross margin, so even in the export market, the pricing is really soft.
No, I'll be same answer. You know, it's a product to product. You know, so margin as a percentage will not be a good indicator for to linking as overall even if, or to any specific market.
Okay. Okay, fine, sir. So just one number of clarity, sir. This PDA volume number, whether you have said, sir? No, right?
Yeah, just take out the number.
Yeah, okay. In the meanwhile, I'll just ask a couple more things. So this freight cost scenario, what we have discussed because of the Red Sea situation, is it delaying and is it creating a kind of extended working capital situation also along with the kind of cost inflation? Is it impacting in any manner to our gross margin or either in terms of cost or in terms of revenue realization?
Yeah, basically the Red Sea scenario is creating some issue with the supplies to Europe and U.S. Basically, the pricing of the containers have definitely moved up, and you know, we will have a quarter lag or in some cases a month lag to push these prices up with the customers. But I think customers are considerate and they understand the situation. They have cooperated with us. But one thing that you asked about this overall, I think the shipping time is increasing definitely, and you know, it will have some impact. But I think our overall revenue mix, 30% would be what it is going to these markets where we will 25-30% of the export. So it may not have too much impact on the working capital as such. And generally the credits are from the BL date. So anyway, we will get the BL date in time. So yeah, it may not have as much impact.
Okay. And just one more question on the this first contract, so this 4-year contract. You have indicated that it is in the FY23, it was kind of a 750 crore kind of supply that we have been doing and potentially reach 900 odd crore. So is it fair to believe that this is the largest customer in terms of concentration?
Yes, it will become the largest customer.
Okay, and is it relating to any downstream of MMA or something like that?
So that we will not be able to specify as of now.
Okay, sir. And,
you wanted the PDA volume, right? The Q3 yeah. PDA volume was 481 tons per month.
Okay. Okay. Just last on this point, on this this thing only, sir, the first contract. See, we possibly would be, although we have been advocating that the margin is not a criteria, but just my view was that the current situation would be such where possibly our margin is somewhere in the range of 15 to 17% for the company as a whole. But if situation improves and subsequently the pricing scenario improves, costing situation kind of stabilizes, then generally the margin profile of the businesses as a whole for the company itself is likely to see an improvement. So is it not fair to believe that it's the same situation that we will see even for this contract?
Yeah, basically, you know, this contract we have already structured, so that kind of gets fixed. But in general, I think that the pricing improves both gross margin and EBITDA margin, both will have a positive impact.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I was just going through the volume numbers that you have shared for this quarter and maybe for the last maybe 8-12 quarters. Especially in NCB, I can see that if I've got the numbers right, our volumes have ranged between close to 18,000-19,000 tons in a ballpark range for a meaningfully higher amount of time, even after adding the chlorination complex of late. So does that mean that our base business, which is predominantly the chlorobenzene and the NCB chain, that has been grossly underutilized till now? And does that also mean that the base business has a far better potential to grow even beyond FY25 or FY26?
We had increased the capacity from 75,000 to 108,000. So that is getting ramped up. So currently we are nearly 80,000. And some of the volume pressures are also coming on these products also. So as the volume product pressure eases, and we are also going to add some more downstream products also in this range, we will see a better utilization coming in this. So in a way, you are right that, you know, some of the volume growth will come in these products.
Got it, sir. Sir, just delving on to the same nitrochlorobenzene capacity, I think a large part of our chlorination complex was also dedicated towards 2,5-DCP, which was a dicamba intermediate. And now that it is not being used to the best of its capacity, would that mean that there will be, you know, divergence of this capacity towards the existing product portfolio that we have, which can potentially trigger growth maybe in FY25, FY26?
Yeah, dichlorobenzene portfolio, this dicamba-related outlet was not a very huge outlet because it goes in a lot of other polymers, PPS polymers and air fresheners and some other products also. So we should be, you know, able to utilize that. That should not be an issue as far as the dichlorobenzene itself is concerned.
Understood, sir. Sir, would my assumption be right towards, you know, the chlorobenzene and the nitrochlorobenzene having more salience towards dyes, pigments as a application area, which has not been doing well as evident as it is since the last maybe 2 or 3 years, and which is the reason why our utilization and production numbers have been quite stagnated. And once we see a pickup on that front, we will see volume growth coming in from the base business as well.
Yeah, nitrochloro is more, again, it's a mix. Nitrochloro, like, you know, one of the big product is paracetamol, you know, so which is a classical big pharma also. So nitrochloro has a less agro exposure, but the pharmaceutical PN paracetamol is an exposure other than the ice pigment. Same way in dichlorobenzene, we have a discretionary, like, you know, air fresheners and polymers, and then agro on diuron, propanil, or those kind of products. So it's a mix on dichlorobenzene. So most of this, these are base products. So we'll have a end use profile in all the sectors. I said discretionary somewhere in some place, it may be 30, 40, other places it may be 50, 60. But it will be always a spread. All the three, nitrochloro, dichloro, nitrotoluene, is a more of a widespread, whereas chlorotoluene is more on agro and pharma with new products which will come in.
Got it, sir. Nothing to do with dyes and pigments doing underperforming, which has resulted in a lower volume, right?
Dyes and pigment component also in nitrochlorobenzene as well as also in some in small portion dichlorobenzene also. So that impact obviously comes in here.
Understood. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate your answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Bajaj Finserv. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the gross margins, or rather the gross profit per kg, that you mentioned that better to not look at the margins per se, but the absolute gross profit number and the gross profit per kg. Now, if I look at the volume numbers that you have, you know, told us and do a small math that, you know, gross profit per kg, quarter on quarter sequentially it has remained flat. So essentially what it boils down to is that our volumes have increased by 5% quarter on quarter from Q2 to Q3, while the absolute gross profit has also grown by 5%. Which means the gross profit for kg has remained flat. Is my understanding correct, sir?
Yeah, typically that's what we have been saying, that gross profit per kg is a much better indicator and that tends to show more stability.
No. So, a follow-up to this is that, you know, if I look at historical levels, our gross profit per kg has been, you know, whatever we are doing right now, it is almost 20-25% lower than what we used to do historically. So, you know, going ahead, we should see improvement in this number as well.
No, but per kg on a composite basis, I don't know from where the number is coming in. Because we have got so many products, you know, product which is like sulfuric acid, which is less than 5 rupees. So some
I'm doing a basic math of what the volume numbers you have said across nitrochlorobenzene, hydrogenation, and dividing that number, metric ton number, with the gross profit that we have done.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think that it's not that simplistic scenario. Because we have got a lot of value-added products. A lot of this nitrochlorobenzene are captively consumed, or nitrotoluene are captively consumed into value-added products. So that simple math, I think, will not work to really gain so many insights.
A better way to understand probably the realization is going up. So my question is basically, if I look at the revenue numbers, it has grown 19% quarter on quarter. But, you know, somehow the product mix is such that the gross profit has not grown at a similar pace. My question is that, you know, if going ahead, you know, do we see improvement in the, you know, gross profit number as well, so that flows down to the EBITDA number as the other OPEX remains very similar in the next year?
Yes, that's what I've been telling. Basically, the absolute gross profit will increase. And it will be a substantial translation to EBITDA, which will happen, which has been happening in this quarter and also will happen in FY25.
And sir, last clarification here. So absolute gross profit will increase because of volumes increasing, or also at, you know, at kg level also it will improve? I mean, how do you look at it?
Yeah, I think both, you know, there will be, we expect substantial volume increase also in a lot of products. And also, as we mentioned earlier in some of the question, as the volume pressure eases, the pricing pressure also will ease. So some of the products we are expecting that per kg also improvement will take place. It will be a mix of both, you know. Somewhere where with the Chinese issues and all those volume pressure which is hitting the margin, this gross profit per kg, we'll see some improvement there also. But substantial improvement or growth for our absolute gross profit will be more driven by volumes.
So what kind of volume growth are we targeting for FY25 over FY24?
Yeah, on a composite basis, you know, around 20-25% range, we can say.
20-25%, okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the sequential improvement here. My first question on the volume side, I'm looking more on a 9-monthly basis rather than this specific quarter. On a composite basis, what sort of a growth we would have seen, you know, across the portfolio?
I could not understand. The entire 9 months compared to what? Last year or future?
Yeah, yeah, 9 months. So I'm not looking at Q3 versus last Q3. So let's say YTD this year, financial year 24, 9 months versus 9 months last year.
Overall, I think there is a volume growth is there, but again, it is some of the product has grown and some of the product has seen some volume pressures. So,
okay, so but on an overall basis,
composite, there is a growth, I would say, on the volume.
Fair enough. And from a, you know, a product mix perspective, any feedback or any traction that you can share on, let's say, nitrotoluene as a product chain or other value-added products? Or the rebound is largely more on the lower margin products, what we are seeing?
No, rebound, you know, wherever there is an impact, those products will go on. Like, you know, nitrotoluene has been slower in last couple of quarters because that's more dominated on agro. So that's where we have seen some pressure on the nitrotoluene volume. So it's all specific end use wise recovery on the volumes and corresponding margin will happen.
Yeah, sir, I appreciate because, you know, as you rightly mentioned, discretionary has seen some rebound versus agro and pharma has not. I was just curious whether, you know, the value added portions over there have got some sales to do or it is the basic or the relatively lower margin products which have seen more a sharper rebound within those end user applications.
Yeah, it will become same, you know, where the end use is, where we are selling value added, then there will be value added impact will come. So that, you know, because the people are not changing the product. If they are buying value added products, then they buy, continue to buy the value added product. They are buying base product, they continue to buy base products. So when there is so slowdown, you know, it impacts both.
Sure, sir. Fair enough. Secondly, from a, you know, a new product approval or let's say new client addition or a geography addition, any comments there, what we would have seen, you know, this quarter or slightly, you know, even earlier quarters as well?
So overall, you know, because the product, new product additions are not that many in that sense. So it is not like, you know, new geography or new customer addition in general. It is the existing customers and geography. And a lot of new products actually which we are adding are also mainly for those customers in that sense.
Okay. Sir, we do have, you know, the earlier portion of the long-term contract there. Your comments, anything, whether they are also seeing a similar pressure that we saw in the, you know, the other businesses or there the pressure is relatively better and the revenue ramp-up is better?
That 4-year contract, you see?
Yeah.
No, there I think that particular product and use, we are not seeing any such volume pressures.
Okay. And with you did towards, you know, the discretionary growing and non-discretionary slower. How will be that mix right now, you know, among the key, let's say, end user applications, if you can share?
So it's more towards discretionary currently around 60. Percent and non-discretionary around 40.
And how will this number be, let's say, last quarter or last year?
More towards 50-50.
Okay, fair enough. And Ashok, lastly, you did mention that, you know, the CAPEX plan remains intact, 2,500 to 3,000 crore over the next 2-year window. And you said also we are doing around 1,200-1,300. How much of this will be revenue generating or there is some bit of backward integration? Because, you know, your comments are also there in terms of site development of Zagadia. So just trying to see, you know, how much of this is going into backward integration or let's say infra development versus a pure revenue generating one.
No, Zagadia, you visited the entire new greenfield site is going to come up. And other sites of our major current Jhagadia site and Dahej site and all will be virtually completing our expansion in virtually in calendar year 24. Most of the projects.
So if I, sorry, if I got you right, the expansion across all the projects will be completed in CY24 itself.
The calendar year 24, you know, all over this existing size, zone 1, 2 and 3, what we have been saying, like, you know, Vapi, current Jhagadia site, Dahej and all, that we expect to be completed. And then from calendar year 25 onwards or FY26 onwards, the commissioning will be mainly coming in that new Jhagadia site.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, last question, if I may. From an overall, you know, given the two projects, as you mentioned, we do not need to spend incremental, you know, capacity addition or a capex for these. How much more can the current, you know, existing capacity absorb? I'm excluding the newer site. Or let's say, you know, in other terms, what is the current capacity utilization at the existing site?
As we mentioned, around 25% volume growth next year we are expecting FY25. And then further, I think there will be still headroom for another, you know, 10-15% volume growth in this zone 1, 2, 3 assets.
Okay, that's great, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Meet Vora from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So we have guided for 1,000 crores EBITDA for FY24. That means, again, we'll see sequential improvement in EBITDA to the tune of around 280-300 crores in Q4. So this will, you know, again be a result of recovering discretionary spends that we have been highlighting. So my question was, do we further see improvement in Q1, Q2 of FY25 as well in discretionary spends? Before we start seeing improvement in agro and pharma demand?
Yeah, basically, discretionary will further improve. And I think the agro also should start improving quarter on quarter. So even in FY25 also, progressively from Q4 or FY24, the Q1 FY25 should be better, and then Q2 should be better. Like that.
Understood. And secondly, on chlorotoluenes, while we have been, we have highlighted that we are seeing a 1500 crores of import substitution opportunity. Can we just guide on our revenue target that at least we are targeting and EBITDA margin expectations and total capex spend on this chain?
This will be more evaluated. So EBITDA will be more toward 25-30% in that product range.
And any rough target of revenue that we have decided internally or we are targeting? Or
so about 2,000 crore plus, I think, should be the revenue.
Okay. So we are also looking at export opportunity in this chain, broadly.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking out the time to join us on our Q3 FY24 earning conference call. Hope we have addressed your queries. If you have any further queries, please feel free to contact our investor relations team and we will address them. We look forward to connecting with all of you again in the next quarter. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Aarti Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.